This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, 9:09. This is going to be an active hour here at WWL and a somewhat fluid hour, so I would ask you to bear with us. We're waiting on Mike Haas to make a big announcement at the Superdome. At the Caesars Superdome, the Mercedes-Benz Endzone Club, I get it, at the Caesars Superdome. He's going to make a big announcement about a concert featuring two big stars in one concert, so we'll go to Mike Haas when he does that at 9:30-ish, and we may have to interrupt our guests. We're going to talk about EVs, and we'll talk with Mandy Landry about education savings accounts and more. Then, at 11:30, we got the Saints press conference as they introduced Kellen Moore. But before that, Newell at 10 o'clock is going to have Lou Fregoso and Archie Manning to talk about Manning Children's Hospital. Saints press conference is at 11:30. Yeah, so Newell's got some time before that, but we'll carry it for you. In case you've not heard, we all know Shaq is going to be the Grand Marshal or whatever it is, the head of Bacchus. He will be Bacchus, and I can't believe that I came up with Shaqus. I would think somebody else would have come up with that. But Livy Dunn is going to be the Grand Marshal of Endymion, and you think immediately that means two vastly different size floats. Let's talk about EVs now with our EV go guy, Stephen Melnick, professor of supply chain management at Michigan State. He's done research in a strategic supply chain, cybersecurity performance measurements, and supply chain design. And we're talking about funding for charging stations specifically today. Good morning, doctor. How are you?
Not bad. Enjoying the snow here.
Well, good for you. We had it a little bit, and we had enough of it, so you can have it. Let's talk about...
Go on.
What did you want to say?
I just want to say we had 68 inches, so we're enjoying it.
That's what we had, and we enjoyed it for about a day, and then not so much. Let's talk about the Trump administration. I'll set the stage, and then you can take off. Trump administration pausing federal funding for charging stations. Elon Musk is at the right hand of the president. He sells electric vehicles, but does he have his own separate proprietary charging stations? What about the other EVs? I've opened it up, Professor. Jump in where you feel comfortable.
Okay, let's go on and just make sure we understand the stage. I think it was in 2021, Biden, in a bipartisan vote, we provided funding, which was approved by Congress, to what's known as the NEVI Act, the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Act. What that did is it provided money to the states to put in place to fund the charging network. Now, what happened is we've now got Trump coming in, and What happened recently last week, Trump comes in and he basically tells the states to stop spending money for an EV infrastructure, charging infrastructure. The problem we have is twofold. Certain states, such as Rhode Island, have done that. Other states, this money has been approved. It has been allocated. It is there. So essentially, if you're going to stop spending that approved money, Trump has got to get approval of the states. And we need to get an infrastructure for EVs, because if we want to see EVs become more dominant, one of the things that's going to prevent it from being dominant is lack of high-speed, dependable charging stations. And I'm going to point those two things up. You've got to have availability, you've got to have high speed, and you've got to have dependability. One of the things we found in one of the things people talk about when they're dealing with EVs is availability is spotty, especially if you get outside the big cities. Number two, many of them are not necessarily high speed, which means you're going to sit there for a long time. Great way of wasting time. And number three, many of them aren't dependable. There are numerous examples on YouTube of people coming up to a charging station, and it's not there. One person did a video where he went off for a 10-day trip. He parked his car in Phoenix at an EV station in the airport, and it wasn't available. It was not working. He couldn't find any of them to work. So the purpose of the bill was to provide those three elements. Now, Trump has paused funding in billions for these national rollouts. However, the funding that has been allocated, approved, committed, the states can go ahead and spend on them. So this is setting up a battle, so to speak, between Trump, the states, and essentially the Congress, where Congress, in order for these things to be revoked, you've got to get Congress involved. If we want to see EVs, we're going to have to see that charging structure. That then leads up to an interesting question. What's the role of Elon Musk? Elon Musk has himself one of the largest charging stations that he's rolling out. Of all the charging stations around, it's the highest power. So on one hand, I'm wondering what game he's playing. On the other hand, if I was Elon Musk, I'm next to the president. I can influence him. So I'm trying to figure out Elon Musk's game there. And on top of that, one of the other things that if I was Elon Musk, I'd really be concerned about is the demand for my cars has really, not simply in the United States, but across the world, has fallen off a cliff. For example, the Netherlands, demand year over year has fallen by 49%. France, the demand is 63% off. The Germany, the demand is, I think it's 59% off. So when I'm looking at Musk and what he's facing, somebody did a calculation which says Musk is not making money on his EVs. He's making money on cryptocurrency, and he's making money on selling carbon credits, where his product is accumulating carbon credits because it's not negatively impacting the environment, and he's using that to sell to other companies which are negatively impacting the economy. If you take that out, his EV business is not doing well.
Let me go to his EV business and charging stations. Can any electric vehicle use a Tesla charging station, and can any Tesla use any EV charging station?
I can't tell you the second part, but the first part I can comment on. Remember, when you charge, your plug goes into his plug, and there's a communication that goes back and forth. So for you to use his charging station, your system has to be approved, which is one reason why recently companies like Mercedes-Benz, like BMW, and others have agreed to make the Tesla charging system the standard. It's called the North American Charging Standard. They've agreed, and that means that they have agreed to work with Tesla on that. So on one hand, Tesla has its own charging stations. I would say that given that I don't have an EV, and given that Tesla's been around, I'd say that probably a Tesla could use a non-Tesla station, but what you give up is speed. You're going to be charging not as fast. And so you've got that going on right now. So Tesla's developed his own station. But on the other hand, what's really interesting is not only Tesla standard, but if the Chinese ever get into the United States, they're going to be coming in on with the ability to charge at a far faster rate. So that creates another dimension of problems, which is, can the infrastructure keep pace with the new demands? Because some of these Chinese cars can charge within 10 minutes.
So
you've got number. Go on.
Well, the question I have is long game here. Could Elon Musk be trying to influence the president to stop construction on these stations so that his charging stations are the only game in town as other EV manufacturers agree to comply to the Tesla standards? Could that be a long game here or not?
I think it could be. I'm not privy to what's in Elon Musk's mind, but that wouldn't surprise me, because right now Tesla is actively funding his charging system. So that's an investment he's making. And if I was Tesla, I would prefer everyone to move to my standard, because number one, it makes sure that their cars are using my system. And number two, when they charge, I'm getting money not only from selling energy, but also from the fact that I'm charging them a Mercedes, a Stellantis, a GM. They're being charged to access my network. So those two things would make it very attractive for me. Maybe, I don't know, but that wouldn't surprise me, especially since he's not having much luck. There are concerns about his car sales. Let's put it that way.
And so when it comes to the Tesla charging stations themselves, that was my next question, having only ridden in a EV one time. And I got to tell you, it was in Washington. It was a Luminaire. Is that the name of it? Luminaire?
Okay, I don't know the company, but go on.
But it was a nice ride. It was a very heavy, smooth ride, but if you can't power it, it's not going to do you any good, right? So when it comes to charging a Tesla, people pay for that, like gasoline? And when it comes to
you have to.
And when it comes to these public charging stations, I presume they would pay whom? The municipality? Because nothing's free, right?
Well, it's not free, because when you connect it, what it's going to do, in the case of a Tesla, when you connect the power, the charger up to it, you've got an account with Tesla. So it's monitoring how much electricity it's putting in, and it's charging you for it. Electricity, it's not a free good, so you have to be charged for it. So you're paying for it just the same way as if you'd pay for gas. The issue is, so there's a number of issues present there, but currently, what you pointed out is, number one, EV cars are attractive because, number one, they're quiet. Number two, they're fast. If you go in an EV car and you put the accelerator down, they move.
And they're so heavy, it's an incredibly smooth ride, Professor.
Oh, it is. It is an incredibly smooth ride. So you've got a car that's quiet, incredibly smooth, and fast. The problem that you've got is charging it and how long it takes to charge and finding a dependable charging station. So, and by the way, that even gets worse in winter. EV usage, EV battery power, you can expect, typically when people talk about EV ranges, it's best case. If you're up here in Michigan and we're getting near to zero, you can expect your battery range to drop anywhere from 30 to 40%. So that means you've got to charge much more frequently. So guess what? You're worried about those issues.
So for people that have, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back 9:22, talking to our go-to guy when it comes to EVs and the president pausing funding on building infrastructure to support EVs, and could the long game be Elon Musk in the president's ear saying, look, let's stop spending money on this, and then he has a proprietary Tesla charging stations that other companies, manufacturers are adhering to, and then he becomes the only game in town. Of course, what does that mean in terms of electric vehicles? Because the president, I don't think, is a big fan of electric vehicles. And to be fair, on the other side of that, he says he wants you to be able to buy ICE, internal combustion engine cars, into the foreseeable future. So one could short-circuit the other. I don't know. It's confusing. Don't forget, a big announcement coming up at 10:30. We'll go live to Mike Haas at the Dome for that when it happens. Right now, we'll take a break on WWL. 927, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Steve Belnick, our friend. He's our EV go-to guy. He studied this, professor of supply chain management at Michigan State. And I'm getting some text here, professor. I don't know what's true, what's not, because like I told you, I only ridden a car in an EV one time. It was a Luminaire or something like that. It was nice, but
I know about the Luminaires. They're an interesting car.
It was beautiful. Beautiful to look at, beautiful to ride in, very expensive. And again, if you can't power it, well, you know, you just got a wheelbarrow. Somebody texted in and said, so I'm a Tesla owner. I do pay when I use a Tesla charger, but it is minimal in comparison to the price of gas. There are a bunch of public chargers in Orleans Parish that are free, provided by Entergy. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but as a guy that does business with the same company that is a public-related, a public utility that's guaranteed a rate of return, I don't want to pay for this guy's electricity to power his car. So go ahead.
I'm going to. You also hit on something else that companies, that states are now coming to grips with. How do you maintain the roads in a state? What's the major source of funding? Well, it's when you go up to a gas station and you pull off the hose and you put into your gas tank, how much of that gas price is not simply the gas, but it's tax?
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a problem. EVs are tapping into electricity, the same electricity that people use to power their homes, the same electricity that the poor use. How do you then if okay? A little comment. You made a statement. I just want to, in order to make this statement make sense, you made a statement about Trump and Elon Musk, mm-hmm. Trump being against EVs. Elon Musk, on a recent investor call, made the statement that EVs are inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
His comment is that, you know, Trump may think he can delay them, but they're inevitable, and he understands the
importance. Trump did say that, and they are at odds when it comes to that, right?
He does, okay. But the point of the matter is he's saying you can say that you're against it, but if everyone's moving to an EV, guess what? It's like being like King Canute putting his throne into the English Channel and trying to command the waves to stop. Waves don't really listen to people like that. So what happens is he's bringing it up. So you've got an issue, and the issue that you've got is as acceptance of EVs increases, we're going to have a demand for charging stations. Because EVs are heavier because of their battery packs, and we can expect that weight to decrease as new technology enters, but in the short term, we're going to have increased weight on the roads. This is going to put greater stress on roads. We're going to start to see problems as roads break down, and this is a concern to people in areas like Minnesota, Michigan, Illinois. Why? Because you put weight on roads, it puts fissures. When water gets in there, freezes, expands, causes potholes. And we know about potholes. So you're going to have an issue, which is, okay, as we move from ICE to EVs, states are going to have a problem. How do I replace the tax, the revenue I got from fuel taxes in order to maintain my roads? So what we're starting to see in Michigan, I'm not exactly sure of the cost, but there's been an increase in the registration cost. So if I have an ICE car, I pay a lower registration than I do if I have an EV. And we're going to start to see that go up because somehow you're going to have to recover revenues. Now, the problem with that is that if I see EVs as being inevitable, I want to drive down the price of EVs. And all of this stuff is driving up the price.
Professor, let me jump in for 1 second. I might have to interrupt you at some point because we're awaiting a big announcement from the Caesars Superdome. I'll let you know if we do. But until then, let me get to this. Entergy New Orleans says 30 free public electric vehicle EV stations at 25 locations throughout New Orleans. It's a partnership with Entergy New Orleans and the City of New Orleans, and the goal is to provide equitable access to EV charging stations. Now, nothing is free, right? That's the one thing I've learned in my life. Somebody's paying for this electricity, whether it's Entergy, and they're guaranteed a rate of return, so I would presume that's passed on at some point to the other electric user, energy users, or the city's paying for it. And if they are, and it's to be equitable, I don't know if that means in terms of EVs or income, but then is that really different than subsidizing gasoline for people that have ICE engines?
That's a good question. And I think, you know, you've hit on the point. Companies are introducing, if utility companies are offering free charging, and that is to encourage the adoption of EVs. What we have going on here is, it's like, you know, I can give you the first case free once you've committed to it. At some point, I'm going to have to start charging you an equitable rate. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have to make sure that I charge you in such a way that it reflects some of the demands, that so that I can recover the maintenance for my infrastructure. I can recover the maintenance for the roads. That's not a free good. Those are actual expenses. So in the short term, they're encouraging people with free EV, with free electricity, but that's not a long-term strategy. You need resources to create electricity. You need resources to create infrastructure. In the long term, we're going to start to see that as soon as we get a critical mass, enough people who've adopted EVs, you're going to have to charge them. And guess what? It's like if you go and look at the cable companies mm-hmm. offer you a great rate initially. You sign up, and what happens? Next year comes around and there's a price increase. This is the same effect.
Let me jump in for a second with Elon Musk, and if he were to develop proprietary charging stations where every manufacturer were to go with the Tesla standard, are we ready? Hi, yeah. Professor. Let me take a break. Here we go to the podium. We go Caesar's Superdome big concert announcement.
What was an amazing event last Sunday, which was just a few days ago, really the loadout, but continue the momentum for this building in this city. Over the last 49 years, almost 50 years, in August, the Superdome has become one of the most iconic venues in the country, if not the world, not only for football, and I think there's some football news later today as well, but for important social, cultural, and musical events as well. It is the combination of our city, our people, our music, that we continue to be able to welcome iconic artists, plural, to Caesar's Superdome year after year. At this time, I would like to introduce Evan Holmes, General Manager of Caesar's Superdome and ASM Legends, to announce the next artists to bring fans from all over to New Orleans to perform in the Superdome.
Thank you, Mike, and welcome back, everyone. Those of you that were here over the weekend, welcome back. Those of you that weren't here, I'm sure you saw how great an experience we had over the weekend and highlight this building, the city, and the state across the world. So I'm not one for kind of letting it linger, so I want to get right to the point of gathering everybody here today. So we are excited to announce, along with our partners at Live Nation, who you hear from here in a second, that for the first time in 21 years at the Superdome, for the first time in 8 years at the Smoothie King Center, we're excited to welcome back Billy Joel, along with Stevie Nicks, to the Superdome on Saturday, October 18th. Billy Joel, as you know, is one of the most respected artists in modern musical history. He is the sixth best-selling artist and the fourth best-selling solo artist, with more than 160 million records sold worldwide. With Billy Joel, along with Stevie Nicks, we believe we have one of the most attractive performing artists that you could hope for in a city that we know has wrapped their arms around both artists individually, and to have them together, we're looking forward to a really exciting Saturday night. With that said, I think there's a video to where we'll launch this announcement, and then I'll turn it over to Grant Lyman from Live Nation to talk more about the details. So with that, we'll play a video.
The video they're showing now is a promotional video. This looks like this will be a commercial that will be running on local TV stations as well as online, showing footage of Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks in concert over the last couple of years. This has been an ongoing tour. though with limited dates over the course of the last couple of years. And now back to Evan Holmes.
With that, Grant Lyman.
Appreciate it. Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Grant Lyman, and I'm the Southeast Region President for Live Nation. We're all thrilled to be standing here today in this legendary venue to announce Billy Joel with Stevie Nicks live from Caesars Superdome on October 18. This venue has hosted its share of magical moments throughout history, from Muhammad Ali beating Leon Spinks for his final professional win, to Michael Jordan helping deliver an NCAA championship for North Carolina, to hosting a record 8 Super Bowls as recently as a few days ago. It's our honor to be a part of continuing that legacy of creating magical moments in the city by welcoming Billy Joel back to New Orleans alongside Stevie Nicks for what will be one of only 5 concerts together in 2025. Billy Joel also has a history of creating magical moments. He's won 6 Grammy Awards, including the prestigious Grammy Legend Award. He's been inducted to the Songwriters Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he's received a Tony Award for Moving Out, a Broadway musical based on his music. Stevie Nicks is also one of rock and roll's most successful and groundbreaking artists. She's a multi-platinum and Grammy Award winning solo artist and a member of Fleetwood Mac. She's the first woman to have been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice and has collectively sold more than 220 million albums. Now, New Orleans needs no introduction when it comes to its live music, history, and heritage. We're honored every time we get to be a part of it through hosting our shows at the House of Blues, Fillmore, Smoothie King Center, and other storied venues throughout town. It's a city that shows up to support live music and one that people eagerly travel to for their chance to see their favorite artists. New Orleans knows how to throw a party, and we're excited to keep the party going at Caesars Superdome on October 18. I'd now like to welcome Alice Glenn, the Executive Vice President for New Orleans & Company.
Thank you. Thanks so much, everyone. We at New Orleans & Company could not be more excited to be partnering with our fantastic friends at ASM, the Caesars Superdome, Live Nation, for this huge event. We work every day to inspire, promote, and encourage travel to our city for the benefit of our community, whether we're doing that by hosting our record-tying 11th Super Bowl, welcoming 4,000 convention-goers into the hotel as the winning team is moving out earlier this week, or now being here to announce an iconic, world-renowned performance happening later this year. Music is really such a critical and essential foundational part of our culture, and so we work day in and day out, year-round, to make sure that we're promoting our local artists, absolutely, but welcoming international icons into an iconic venue like the Caesars Superdome is where magic really happens. So we have proven again and again that we can host milestone championship events, iconic events like this one, safely, joyfully. And so we look forward to working over the next few weeks and months to make sure that all of the fans, visitors, and residents who I know are so excited for this event to come to enjoy. Thanks, everyone.
Members of Live Nation, Evan, anybody that you need will be available afterward for one-on-one interviews, and we can have a B-roll package if you need that as well. And my thanks to Karen. I won't even try her last name for benefit of that, but we thank you all. And it is about momentum, right? We just finished the Super Bowl. The last time we hosted a Super Bowl was 2013, and New Orleans kept the momentum going in 2013 with Jazz Fest. On the Acura stage at Jazz Fest in 2013, Billy Joel. The next week on the Acura stage in 2013, Stevie Nicks. We kept the momentum going. But now, October 18th, same building, same stage, one performance. That's going to be exciting. My thanks to Evan, Alice, and Grant for their participation. We appreciate you coming to Caesars Superdome this morning on the heels of the Super Bowl, and we hope you are as excited about Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks one night, one stage, as we are. And finally, again, thank Karen, as she will sing us a song to take us out. Thanks, everyone.
All right, 9:41, 19 till 10. That's from the Superdome about Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks coming in concert Saturday, October 18th. I did not hear anything about Oh, we want to hear the song. Good. Play the song. No, that we're not going to do that. 9:42, 18 till 10. We're going to take a break. We'll find out when tickets go on sale and be back here on WWL. Traffic. WWL. All right, 9:57, been a busy morning. Billy Joel, Stevie Nicks could be in concert at the Superdome Saturday, October 18th. Pre-sale is next Monday after this weekend. They go on sale next Friday. You can go to Ticketmaster.com. Not a lot of information to be had online yet, but it's coming. Newell, I know you love music. I presume you've seen Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks both in concert before?
I have and would love to go to this concert, quite frankly.
I know you love music.
This may be both of theirs' last tour, right?
Yep, and you know, there's something to be said. Even back in the days of FM radio with me, with hosting the oldies acts where they didn't have what they once had. But there's something to be said for seeing an iconic American artist do that song live. I don't care if it's Paul McCartney, I don't care who it is, right?
No, absolutely.
So,
no doubt about it.
You got some information coming up on your show today. You got a pretty big 3 hours planned.
We're going to visit with Rafael Goyeneche in the back half of the 12 o'clock hour. We've got a lot to talk about there. We'll talk about the most recent decision on NOPD promotions as one topic. And then we'll cover the live press conference where the Saints named the new head coach, Kellen Moore. So we'll go live out there with Bobby Hebert and others to cover that event. And we start out this morning in the back half of the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to visit with Archie Manning, legendary Saints quarterback, my favorite quarterback of all quarterbacks for the Saints, and Lou Fregosa, CEO of Children's Hospital, about the legacy gift that they're leaving for the Children's Hospital of LCMC.
So you got a full 3 hours planned. We saw talked to Joe Geruso a little bit this morning, listening to, you know, and it was hard for me to take. I'm not trying to attack the mayor here, but you know, and I even quoted Shakespeare saying the world's a stage, and I saw her taking the bows at the Superdome and everything else. But when it comes to day-to-day management of city government, this foolishness with the Orleans Parish School Board and the settlement and now claiming that they didn't know what was going on, some of this stuff defies belief.
Well, the worst part about it is that they've been telling us that they don't have a money problem. Now, all of a sudden, they have a money problem. That was the same situation that existed with the school board where they had a $30 million hiccup. They didn't realize that there was $30 million there that they didn't have, which has actually brought them to the table to try and settle this litigation.
Now, I got to tell you, going before a slew of lawyers yesterday and trying to claim plausible deniability on this, I thought that was pretty silly, too. Newell's next. If you ever dreamt of riding in a carnival parade, WWL's got your tickets to ride with the crew of Argus on Mardi Gras Day. Just go to WWL.com/contest. Register to win a ride of a lifetime. It's from Honda of Covington. Newell's next. Got a jam-packed 3 hours.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand-new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Marketers, Are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising?
People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience?
Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative.
Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry.
And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends.
Don't just stay in the game. Win it.
Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.